Friday, March the 28th, 2014, in the United States of America, California. Let's narrow it down. Los Angeles. Wait a minute. On Harcourt Avenue in the Lucy Coleman studio. That's right. You can peer right through the window right now and see me. Welcome to the webcast. This is PJ. Got a lot of papers to grade today. If any of you students are listening to this, you should be studying. Turn the webcast off. Study your philosophical notes. Also, for the students that tune in, the notes of last week's lecture should be up by late this afternoon or early tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. I want to talk about something, and I think that the best thing to talk about is I was reading in a book called Exploring Ethics, A Traveler's Tale, and I turned to a section called abortion. And I'm not going to tell you that abortion is wrong and all of that, but they had a very important part in this text I'd like to read to you, and I want to see what you think of it. It says, all the same, the debate, which is politically as well as personally a potentially divisive issue, tends to be defined in terms of two extreme positions rather than the moderate or qualified ones. Conservatives are often depicted holding that there is no dividing line in the process that leads to conception to birth, sometimes, but not necessarily, on the basis of the theological view that the soul exists from conception. In other words, when the man and the woman gets together to have the baby, a soul exists. I believe this. I've always believed this. I can't prove it. I'm not trying to be a scientist, but I believe that when there is the activity of love taking place between a man and a woman, and they really are jointly loving each other, that during the process of making love, and I'm not talking about some wild, lustful act, I'm talking about really, if the girl really loves a boy and she's just crazy about him, and she gives herself to him, and he takes her, and he doesn't back out of her, then that was a love child. And so when the spermatozoa hits the egg, that was a love action. Now, whether or not the life is conceived as a human being at that moment, I would hope so, because I think that everything that humans do when it's done out of love is a perfect work. Okay, let's go with that. We'll handle it from that way. The article goes on and says, and because they hold to a principle of the sanctity of human life, it is assumed that they must believe that it is wrong to kill. Okay, whatever stage of development of a human being is involved. So the strongest element of the conservative position is its unwillingness to discount the claims of a vulnerable, incipient human being. In other words, it's a human being. That makes sense to me too. It's a human being. I teach in my philosophy classes, I ask the question, do you think that there's any other form of life that is just as important as a human life? Most of the students, 98% of them, would say yes. And I would proceed to ask my students which form of life. They began to mention the names of their pets. I couldn't believe it. I sat in awe as these people were putting credibility on a poodle. But maybe I was born at a different time. The article goes on and says that its weaknesses is its failure to take into account the serious demands that pregnancy makes upon the potential mother. In other words, if the conservative view is weak, they're saying it's weak because if the liberal mother is saying the pregnancy is draining my blood system, it's taking food and substance from me, the baby's going to drain me, I'm going to have to take care of this baby. But you knew that when you got involved with the love act. See, whenever you get involved with the act of love, there's going to be some payment for that. That's not free. Okay, let me go back. I made two babies in my life. Only two. That's right. with the woman that I was married to. Every time we met. I know what kind of a website this is. I'm an apologist. I know what I'm talking about. That's y'all's problem. You don't want to talk about reality. Every time I got with my woman, I was thinking about the possibility of me making another child. And I loved to be with her even more because that's why I got with her, to make the baby. We wanted babies. We wanted babies. Man, when my wife got pregnant, I didn't even want her to go to work. She said, what? I said, no, don't even go to work because you may bump it and lose the baby. And she never lost one of the babies that she was pregnant with. I don't know why this. Sit down, bro, man. Sit down. I didn't say get out. I said sit down. You should see, bro, man. He turned around and walked out of here like a soldier. Now, liberals, on the other hand, this I'm reading from the text. Liberals, on the other hand, are perceived as arguing that decisions about having children should be a matter of free choice by the individual concerned. In other words, well, you always have two individuals concerned, the woman that is carrying the child and the man that placed the child in the basket. I mean, he has something to say. After all, it's his child, too. Now, you know, we have a lot of these estranged women saying that it's my body and I can do what I want. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. But wait a minute. If my baby boy is in your voluptuous body, I don't think you can do what you want to. Wait a minute. Let me read this. The liberal says that it's a matter of free choice by the individual concerned, and that law should not interfere with what is essentially a private matter. Now, you know, if you belong to an evangelical church, you're going to try to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about abortion. You're only going to find a couple of instances in there when it says that if a woman is pregnant with a child and if any man kicks it and kills the child, that the man or the woman that kicked the woman that killed the child should be taken and stoned to death. And so in the Bible, it said that if you stop the birth from taking place, the adult that did that should be stoned to death without any trial. That's what the Bible says about abortion. That's about it. So if you want to use this 3,500-year-old mandate to do your life by, that means that if you commit an act of abortion, you should be stoned to death if you're going to take the Bible. Now, we have to deal with law where we are. Now, please don't ask PJ, the internet pastor, what his view is on that. I love little babies. When I see little babies walking down, isn't it the cutest little thing? I saw a mother walking her child. The mother was walking so fast, and the little child had just obviously learned how to walk. I felt like telling the mother, I was detailing my car yesterday, and she was walking by. She was walking so fast, the little child's legs couldn't keep up. I almost said, hey, baby, slow down so the little human can keep up. But I didn't know what the woman would say to me, and I don't interfere. But little people are little people. I love these little people. They are the most precious little things. And I love the fact that their parents are supposed to feed them and keep them safe. I've seen these little people standing at the bus stop. The parents are talking with a friend of theirs and the bus, wait a minute, the light's getting ready to change. And they start walking and the little one just walking without even holding the hand. I said, I can't believe this. But that's the world we live in today. The book goes on and says, they may also argue pragmatically that legalized abortions are necessary to prevent the scourge of illegal and backstreet abortions. Now, that's ridiculous. I remember my mom once got an abortion from a hospital. My dad, they're both dead now, so I can't talk with him about that. But my dad had my mom get another one of his children aborted because he didn't want to take care of another kid. He already had five. And William Clay had already died of a procedure that my mother went through. And so my dad loved his woman, but he didn't want no more children because he had five already. And to take care of six and a seventh, And back in the day, you know, they didn't talk about planned parenting like they do today. Anyhow, perhaps this article goes on and says, perhaps the strongest liberal argument in favor of access to abortions is that a law against abortion is a law that compels an unwilling woman to continue the progress or the process of pregnancy, that is, to undergo a physical experience which is dangerous, lengthy, and onerous. Now, let me respond to that. It's not dangerous. People have been having babies for centuries. And without a hospital. Some of them without a wet nurse. You want to know how a woman should have a baby? You can see Mel Gibson's movie, Apocalypto. Jaguar Paul's wife was trapped in a water catch hole. It started to rain. She began to have the birth pain. She pushed, and the baby came out right in the bottom of a nice warm bathtub. The baby was born in water. It was beautiful, the way they showed that birth. Now, I'm going to read this again. The people said that having a baby is dangerous, lengthy, and onerous. And then it goes on and says, it's weakest, on the other hand, is that the abortion, if it is not available, this results in the birth of unwanted children. Why didn't you think about that when you was wanting the sex? Now, let's go back to what I did, all right? I was with my woman, and I enjoyed having sexual relations with her. It felt good. It was wonderful to have somebody hold you, kiss you, touch you all over and everything. Don't be wincing up, moving away from the speakers of the computer. I'm not going to say anything that none of you adults haven't done, especially if you've had children. Stop being so darn squeamish about the act of loving another person. Now, unwanted children, you wanted it when he, hey, you, do you get my drift? You wasn't saying you didn't want it when he was with you. And then, wait a minute, you didn't have him wear protection or a condom, so you really wanted him. So what is this unwanted children? Wait, you know he didn't have a condom on. You knew that if he ejaculated in you, that there's a good possibility that you would get pregnant if that egg was hit by that sperm. Unwanted. Who didn't want it? The only unwanted child that you can say that is there is if a woman was raped. But if she laid down and offered herself freely to that man, you don't be talking about, I didn't want that child. You lying. So that's a bad argument. Okay. Here's another one. It is the weakest because, first, children can be wanted by people other than their parents. Wait a minute. So the author is saying, if you didn't want it, somebody else would want the child. But maybe this woman didn't want somebody else to want her child. Really, I don't know a mother that is willing to give up her child to another woman. I really don't know a mother like that. That may be a new TV series they may put out that these people can set up all night and laugh about. But a real mommy don't want to give up her child to any other mommy. All right. Secondly, they say because children who are unwanted in anticipation may well become wanted and loved once they arrive. Well, no. If the mother has the child that she doesn't think she wants while she's having the child, the minute that baby starts crying, listen to this old man. The minute that baby starts crying, that mother's going to hear that baby's voice, and she's going to start crying and say, give me my baby, give me my baby. And she's going to flip that breast out and get this baby some food. That baby going to start sucking. Now, why wouldn't that woman want that baby? Sometimes when you see, like a dog, because I raised German Shepherd puppies, and I watched Baba. That was Baba's name. And Baba fed all her puppies that she had. But when the puppies started getting all big and started biting her teeth and started hurting her, Baba started to eat the puppies, so I had to separate the puppies from the mother because Baba was a wild animal. Baba was a German Shepherd dog. And they eat their own when they get on their nerves. Well, we're human beings. I hope we don't go into that. What do you mean you learn to love them once they arrive? I don't know who wrote this book. I guess I could read his name, but that's fallacious. A mother loves that child when that child is bumping around in her. Now, if the mother's on dope or something like that, she needs to get a grip, get some counseling or something. Finally, they say, because in no other circumstances would being unwanted by others be accepted as a morally sound reason for ending someone's life. Now, that's a strong argument, but I'm telling you, when you have maybe sometimes a generation that doesn't put great priority on humans the way that I do, that may be different. As far as terminology is concerned, the author says, then complex issues are ill-served by one-word summaries of positions. That's right. You just can't make one word and say, well, the pregnancy is difficult. You can't do it like that because it's a human being. The baby has feelings too. The baby has emotions, will, intellect, has to be tended to. In particular, while it makes sense to define a conservative as one who wishes to preserve life, it is wrong to regard a liberal as one who is indifferent to it. He's correct. That's why I don't use conservative and liberal tags on people. I ask, why don't you give me the real reason why you don't want this baby? Because you wanted it when it was placed there. Didn't you think about that then? I mean, he said, I'm getting ready to. I didn't see you pulling out. I saw you holding him towards you. What do you mean? You had to think of something. Wait a minute. For a liberal, in the true and original sense, sets an equal value on all human beings, including the most vulnerable. But this is a consideration that moves into the heart of the abortion debate, a debate which turns to begin with on the question of the moral status of the unborn. And, you know, I kind of like that because the unborn ain't got nothing to do with it. When I was a baby being formed in Mary Ann's belly, my mother, and I remember my mama. I'm telling you, she left me when I was 12 years old. In life, she departed this life. But I remember walking to the store with my mama, talking with my mama. My mama smiled when my mama would rub me on my forehead and said, John Jr., you so silly. Ooh, I knew my mama loved me. Let me tell you, every baby, no, I won't talk about babies. I speak with a lot of young men, and when I speak with a lot of young men, you better not talk about their mama. Their mama can be the biggest, fattest, ugliest, most grotesque person in the world, but you better not talk about that boy's mama because that was his mother. That's how precious it is to have babies. See, I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of Bible verses and try to tell you that, you shouldn't, you know, that's sinful and all that. No, I'm just keeping it real. At the extreme in this view of what is removed in abortion has no more significance than a bad tooth or a hair clipping. At the other is the view that matters just as much as a baby is a full-grown adult. Kind of like that, from a book called Exploring Ethics, A Traveler's Tale. And so as a matter of fact, this is a book written by a woman. Her name is Brenda Almond. Where did I get the book from? I don't recall where I got the book from, but it's an interesting book written by a female philosopher in ethics. And I think it was very well written. The arguments that she gave were plausible. Well, that's just one. Oh, wait a minute. You want to know what my take is on that? I told you what my take is on that. I love having children. I think every man should at least have. Wait a minute. I was having lunch in a restaurant a couple of days ago, and sitting in the next booth from me, a man came in. He had to be around maybe 40-ish, 41, 42, bald head, had on glasses, a business suit, and he had with him, it was his daughter. I saw the way he had touched her on the shoulder, and it was like he wasn't living with his daughter, but he had picked her up to take her to dinner, because see, a lot of people are separated. So this man was spending time with his birth daughter. And I was facing him as I was sitting in the booth across from him and listening to the conversation with him, what he was having with his daughter. And I kept looking at the way he was looking at her and smiling. And she was smiling back at her daddy. And I said, oh, thank God, this man and this woman did not have this child aborted. Because that man would not have been happy that day sitting there having a relationship with his little girl. I just said, thank God that he didn't. For those of you that are considering this act of making your life easier because having the child, because you can't find a job, you don't have a car, a house, you don't have any money, how am I going to make it with the child? I'm going to tell you how you're going to make it with the child. Same way Lucy and I made it with our children. We didn't always have a color TV. We didn't always have good furniture. We slept on a pallet in our first apartment. We didn't get a house full of furniture until much later. What you crying about? This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio. 21 minutes and 20 seconds into this webcast. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for your prayers in my life. I'm doing pretty good. The right baccaroneuritis is still bothering me, but it's getting better and better and better. I thank God that I stopped taking the doctor's medicine. Listen to me, one more thing. Don't take medicine pills from these physicians. That's just going to mess up your mind and mess up your head. You know what I want you to do? Endure the pain. If you can suffer the pain, take it. And if you want to know what to take to get rid of the pain without taking the doctor's medicine, call me on my cell phone and I'll tell you what I do, and then you determine whether that makes any sense to you. God bless you. Whatever you do, stay into the blessed word of God.